Highest is going to be lowest. There are three different levels of tumors. If a person is coming and he didn't go to mikveh yet, but he's mamish tameh, so any oichlim or mashkim or kelim that he will come in contact with, he will be metameh. Hashem king, what if the person already did go to the mikveh, but he didn't yet have higher of shemesh? When he's only called a full yom, so the negir to chulin, if he's going to touch any chulin, he won't be metameh. If the negir to maisa sheni, he's also tohar, he's permitted to eat maisa sheni. Of course, if he touches maisa sheni, it doesn't possible. He's still going to mikveh before higher shemesh, but he's not permitted to eat truma, nor is he permitted to touch truma. If he touches the truma, for yom touches truma, he passes the truma. There is a Rashi in one place. I forgot when it's the end of Chulon or the middle of Sfeita. One place Rashi writes that this din is only the Rabbanon. The din that it's full yom is not permitted to eat truma. That's a din deraita, because it's based on the chumash. You have to have harav shemesh. But the din that it's full yom who touches truma passes it. So one place Rashi writes that's only the Rabbanon. The other place Rashi writes fakir. The Migdash David quotes. The other place Rashi writes fakir that it's a deferish of pasuk. The last week said in Parsha Shmini. But it says the Seirish that you need Harav Shemesh by Kalim. But the Kli was Nitzma. They need Harav Shemesh. What do you need Harav Shemesh for? But the Kli is going to eat Truma. The Kli doesn't eat Truma. You see the Seirish. If they put the Truma in the Kli, it's full Yom. Even though the Kli was already Nitzma in the mix, and it's Torah, Legabi, Chulin, and Legabi, Maisa Sheni, but it's still Tami, Legabi, Truma, even the possible Truma. Not just that you're not permitted to eat the Truma. So that's what Migdash David writes. The Ikir is like the other Rashi. The one Rashi is Mamish against the Prophet in Chumash. He can't say that the din of Hirav Shemesh is only needed to get to be permitted to eat the truma. And then there's a third din that even a person who was tevel in the mikveh who already had Hirav Shemesh, if he's one of the people who has to bring a korban, Zab Zava Yoled Bisa Mitzorah Harafur Mechutri Kipurim Mechutri Kapara. One who is Tomei, who has to bring a korban. There are other Mechutri Kapara as well. The Ger is considered in a certain sense because he for him. And a Nazir who didn't bring the Korban, if you want to come after the Nazir, to take a Tiglach as a haircut, and to maybe time of the Mason. But that's a different kind of Mechusi Kafar. But these four, the Zab, the Zab, and your letters, and the Torah, they're Mechusi Kafar in the sense that the Har is not completed until they're going to bring the Korban. So that's only going to get to Knisa La Migdosh, I'm going to get to Achilos Korban. Mechusi Kippurim, until he brings the Korban, is still considered Tomei. So let's say this Yom Ledes. Yom Ledes, the first 7 days, she's considered like Mamish Katmeya. Even if she goes to the mikveh in the middle of the first 7 days that she had a baby girl, the first 14 days. So the first 14 days doesn't help, even if she goes to the mikveh. She has to wait till after the 7 and the 14 days are up, and then she goes to mikveh. That means it's a little difficult. The Gemara points out the din. The din is that by a nida has to wait 7 days, and then she goes to the mikveh after the completion of the 7 days. The zava has to wait 7 days, and she's permitted to be tovel in the mikveh the morning of the 7th day. And I tell you, saying mikveh zayim kukula, the morning of the 7th day, she can be tovel in the mikveh. We have a chumrim mid rabbanon. The Gemara explains at the end of Maseches Nida why Rav Shimon and Tana has a chumrim mid rabbanon that we don't also lost his cane. You don't allow a woman to be tovel in the mikveh. The Mishnah Megillah says that she can be tovel in the morning. It's a mikveh yom kukulot. By a shemeres yom keneged yom, by zolak tana, or by zolak doila, doesn't matter. She can be tovel in the morning. And if you mind, at the end of the night, it quotes a braiser where it has Rav Shimon, and that's how we pass him that the rabban, she's not permitted to be tovel in the mikveh in the morning, and he gives you a whole reason why. Rav Shimon explains why the rabban, they don't allow it. So what's the reason why by Zava you say Mikseh and Kukula she can be tovel in the morning, and by Nida you don't say Mikseh and Kukula? It's based on Sukkim. What's the reason why? So the Pashta says that the only time you apply Mikseh and Kukula is you have to have two conditions. Number one, it has to be Malos. That's superimposed over the calendar, like Zav, Zava, Yoledes, all of these people have a Malos. Let's say on Shabbos again, we say, well, I went to the first minyan in the morning, I daven Hashkan minyan, mikveh kukula, and I can go to work. They're up. Many people will still do that. Let's say Yom Kippur, you fast a little bit in the morning, and you observe the din, and then mikveh kukula finish. So you don't say that on a calendaric day. It's a day on the calendar. So the rest of the day is also Shabbos. The rest of the day is also Yom. The rest of the day is also Yom Kippur at Tisha B'Av. If it's not a calendaric day, Avelis, by Avelis, it's a mikveh kukula. Why? Because everybody dies at a different time of the year. So it's not one month kavua that everybody dies, that everybody sits shiva at the same time. Whenever the person dies, whenever the kfur is, so you superimpose a unit of time, 3 days, 7 days, 30 days, whatever it is, you're superimposing zmanim on top of the calendar, so then you say, niksen kakula by nazir, imatak niksen kakula. In Kabbalah Nazir, the middle of nowhere, there's no zman kavua on the calendar when the laws of Nazir is applied. So first of all, niksen kakula only applies if it's a malos, malos being superimposed on the calendar, it's not a calendaric day. Number two, you have to have a notice to say niksen kakula. You have to have some kind of a kihum, some kind of a nihut that you've done in the morning of the last day. If the person is noyeg the abelus, the mitzvah, in the beginning, in the morning of the last day, the mitzvah, nihut of the last day is kikula. But if there's no nihut to do, then you can't say mitzvah and kikula. So the pashtus is, that's why there's a difference between a zavra and a nido, because by the nido, she doesn't have to do anything. She doesn't have to make any bedikis or anything, even if there's dam up until the end of the seventh day, it doesn't matter whether there is dam or there's not dam. You just have to wait 7 full days. And after the 7 days are up, and then she's tight. Well, of course, she's going to have to make a hefsek tara. The nida has to make a hefsek tara before the end of the seventh day, because if she's still having dam in the eighth day, then she just became a zavak tara. But that's not mitzad hilchas nida. Mitzad hilchas nida, she doesn't need any bedikas at all, so there's nothing for her to do. So there's nothing to do. You don't just say mitzem kukula that the last day can be broken off. She only came by a zava does need bedikas. So if she'll make the bedikas in the morning of the seventh day, then you'll say mitzvah sayayim kukula. If there's something that you have to do, let's say the nazir, you can say mitzem kukula. The nazir is noig nazirin. It's like he's not taking a haircut, and he's not being metamil mason, and he's not drinking wine. The Rambam writes, "I read the key of mitzvah sasei." He's mekayim the mitzvah of kodesh yir gadol teres harosh. It's not just that they're iser esei; it's a key of mitzvah. So he's mekayim something. So the pashto should have been by a yoledes, by the yoledes. by the yoledes. It's a malos. It's superimposed on the calendar. It's not a calendaric day. The question is, would you say mikzvah sayam kukuloy or not? So the Gemara says that you don't. The Gemara says in Sochem, enough tzaddik, that by neither of your letters, you don't say mikzvah sayam kukuloy. So Rashi says, why? Because the Pasuk says, ki may nida the voice of titma. The Pasuk compares the letters to a nida, not just by, because if she has a baby boy 7 days, like over there by the nida 7 days, and she has a baby girl 14 days, is also kimei nida zvoi satitma. It's also like a nida, even though it's twice as long. In what sense is the yoled is compared to a nida? Just like by a nida, you don't say mikta sayon kukula, so also by the yoled is you don't say mikta sayon kukula. But the emes luchay, you shouldn't need a nida. There is a kasha by yalfus to indicate this. The pasta should be like that. But by the yoled is, she doesn't have to have any gedikas. Adonai, the Gemara says, even if the dam continues, there's dam on the first day and the second day, every day there's dam, and then there's dam in the 33 days of the 66 days, that's dam toha. So there's no kiyum, there's no niyug that she has to wait, that she has to do on the last day. She just has to count the days and wait till the end of this month. So since there's no kiyum, there's no niyug, that's the reason why the din is that you don't say mikzvah sayim kukuloi by the yoledes. Yeah. That's the Yisr, yeah, by the Zav also. By the Zav also she has to be parishman by the, but that's not the Mikzas Nihug. That's the Nihug of an Yisr. Mikzas Nihug means that she does a Bdikah on the morning of the seventh day. Yeah, you have to have a Nihug. By the Nazir, the Nihug is B'Shevi Al-Tah. The Nihug by the Nazir is that he doesn't take a haircut, and he doesn't metame the mason, and he doesn't drink any wine, but still, it's a kiyum, it's a sasek. So that's how Pidin considered a kiyum. Hashemi came, that she abstains from being with her husband, that's an Issa. That's not a kiyum. She's observing, and she's not violating an Issa. Yes, yeah. Well, yes, it turns out that it's a calendaric day. It's not really calendaric. They happen to have died between Pesach and Shavuos. Alpi Mikra, when people die, it's also not Alpi Mikra. But it's not a calendaric day. Talmid Rebbe Akiva happened to have died. The Bezen Shalman decided they should die between Pesach and Shavuos. So we observe every year Aveilus in commemoration. That's also the Chara, not a calendaric day. The days were never Nikva Min HaShemayim as a special day. Tisha B'Av was Nikva. Kodesh Baruch Hu, and at the time of the Chet HaMeraglim, said it's going to be Kaveh, the day of Tisha B'Av, as a Mugavolim Chayv Aliyam Chayv. The Baruch Shalom decided then he's going to make the Chulbin Bat Migdashim on the day of Tisha. So that Tisha B'Av is a calendaric day. Not just Alti Mikra, it happens to be the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av. But the Talmid Rebbe Kiva died, that happened, just happened to be, like any other Rebbe, it happened to be that time of the year. The Shaman is, what's the Nihug? What Nihug do you have? We have Mikta Yom Kikula by Shiva and by Shloshim. We don't say Mikta Yom Kikula by Yud Beis Chodesh. So in Shulchan Aruch, they give one reason, and Rav Soloveitchik, I remember, gave a different reason. In Shulchan Aruch, they say the reason why we don't say Yom Kikula by Yud Beis Chodesh is because the only time you apply Mitzvah Kikula if you're working with units of Yomim, units of days. So Shiva and Shloshim and days of Muziris, days of Nidri, Cherem, Shamto, these are days of Zavak Tano, Zavak Doyla. Here the halacha was formulated either Din Derais or Din Rabban, by Avelus or Din Rabban. Here the halacha was formulated in units of days. Mashenikin Avelus, it's not formulated in units of days, it's formulated in units of months, Yud Beis Chodesh. But you can't say Mikzvah Sayyim Kikula, the last day of the last month, you're not dealing with the units of days, you're dealing with the units of months. When you say Mikzvah Sachaydash Kikula, there is no such thing. The passage that says Mikzvah Kikula is written by Zava, at the end of Parshas Mitzvah. It's written by Zava, Achatita, Rahamaitasita. So it only says it when you're dealing with units of days. That's the Hezbollah that's given in Shulchan Aruch, I think they quote from the Trumas Adeshim, if I'm not mistaken. Well, so Vejik suggested an additional Hezbollah that's it's certainly also Emes, based on the Gemara, it's Emes. By Avelus, Shiva, and Shloshim, there's a Nihug Avelus, not just that the person is Naig Yisurim, so he doesn't take a bath, and he doesn't do Tashm Shamit, and he doesn't wear shoes. No, it's considered an, even though it's B'Shevi Al-Tasa, all the Nihugim are B'Shevi Al-Tasa, but it's still considered a kiyum of mitzvah tavelus. Mashen came in Yud Beis Chodesh. They were taka only niu gisurim. It's just niu tanugim. So just because the oval is observing the isuri avelus on the mitzvah tayyim of the last day of the Yud Beis Chodesh, that's not enough to say kikula. Mitzvah kikula only applies under some kind of a nihu, like the nazir who observes the three things, the shevi al-tasa, the tumas, the kalachas, and the yayin. The avamayt are the kiyum. It's the kiyum. It's the kiyum. So avelus Yud Beis Chodesh, there is no kiyum. Anyway, here again by the Yoledah. So the Yoledah is the first 7 of 14 days, she's mamish tmeya. Even if she goes to the mikveh, it's not going to happen. She's tmeya like a nida. A nida goes to mikveh in the middle of the zman. Sometimes a woman goes on a trip, she's going to Australia, she's going to Japan, and she won't have a mikveh available. So she can't go to mikveh now, and then she won't be with her husband until 4 days later. You can't go, if there is no kiddushin, you can have lachalamid. I guess you can give lachalamid. You can do hafrashah shuma lachalamid. Make a hakdosha of kavanas lachalamid. It can't be tovel in the mikvah lachalamid. It's called the kinyana. If she goes to mikvah before the crop is mad, so it's not valid at all. So the yoledes has to go to mikvah after the 7th day, or after the 14th day by a baby boy or baby girl. After she goes to mikvah, she's considered a tzvul yom. Rashi quotes in the Gemara and the Mishnah is not only she a tzvul yom up until the Tefak Kechavim. Immediately following, she's what we call a tzvul yom baruch. Rashi quotes in the Gemara, she's a tzvul yom baruch. She's considered a tzvul yom till the end of the 40 days, or till the end of the 80 days, till the end of the whole malach. In other words, she's not allowed to eat chuma that whole time. Not just in between the mikveh and the tefak kechavim, in between the tefillah and the mikveh, and the tefak kechavim of the whole malos, of the 40 or the 80 days. And then after the malos is up, and she's no longer called a tzvul yom, now she's permitted to eat, it's already Erev Shimsha. After the 40 or the 80 days, now she's permitted to eat chuma, but she's still not permitted to enter the Beit HaMikdash, or to eat korbanos until she brings her korban. That's called Mechus HaKippur. Rashi on the pasuk, there's a mitzora muzgar and there's a mitzora muchlot. And Mishnah has had the various chilukim between the mitzora muzgar and the mitzora muchlot. A lot of dinim. Not just the Mishnah Megillah, there are a lot of Mishnahis in the goyim that give you the distinctions between the mitzora muzgar and the mitzora muchlot. So Rashi writes, what does it mean, the hizgir hakoyim? So Rashi writes, the hizgir yazgir enu gabayis echod. He locks them up in a house. Rashi on pasuk dalet. Terek yud gimarat yazgir enu gabayis echod. He has to stay quarantined in a house. He's not supposed to walk around. The Tzur, in his commentary on Chumash, quotes the name of his father, an original Pshat. Tzadik Nima quotes this. In his autobiography, he quotes a lot of wild things that he discussed with his father. Maybe the Pshat is like this, maybe the Pshat is like that. But this is one of the things that the Tzur quotes the name of the Rosh. His Giras HaNega means he put a bandage on the Nega. His Giras HaNega doesn't say his Giras HaAdam. His Giras HaNega, you must give the Nega. Rashi says he has given it by Sechol that the Adam, you lock the man up in the house and you don't let him go out of the house. So the Tzur quotes the name of his father, but it doesn't mean. The Gemara says that the Klolei Hapsak by Sofik Tumas Mitzrayra are different from all other Sofik Tumas. By all other Sufik Tumas, the Klal of Sufik Tumas B'shusha Yochid is Steka is Tomei Vadai, and Sufik Tumas B'shusha Rabim is Steka Tohar. By Tumas, it says in Maseches Nazir, in the Mishnah in the Gemara Maseches Nazir, that if you have a person or a beged or a bayis and there's a Sufik where he's supposed to declare him as Tomei or not, so the person is not B'chaz Kustahara. And it's a Sufik whether the Klan should declare him as Tomei. So the din is that you do not declare him as Tomei. Since the word that's mentioned first is letaharo or letamo, letaharo precedes letamo, so letaharo takes precedence. But what happens if the person is tamei? He has already been declared as tamei. And now the suffix is at the end of the week, at the end of the 2 weeks, at the end of the 3 weeks, whatever, different maris, different times in the glen have different periods of time. The Mishnah is spelled out 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. At the end of the time, the kohen has a suffix, maybe he's supposed to be metahir him. Maybe not. So then he has now been the ches kasumba for the last week or two or three. So then, in order to be mitzayir him, then you have to know the vaday that he's tohar. And if this is suffix, then you leave him tamei. Then you don't declare that he's tohar. Like a manishtana, how come the klolei tumah suffix tumah b'shus ayochid say kavadei tamei suffix tumah b'shus rabbi say kavadei tohar? How come these klolei tumah don't apply to mitzayra? The Tesis has two opinions on the first daf in Nida and in Bava Kamma and Daf Yud Aleph. Places with the Shittim Kubetzis, the Pesach Rosh, is the Machlokes of Rishayim. Some Rishayim say that the Klolei Tumah is Tafik Tumah B'shus Hayochid, whereas the Tafik Tumah B'shus Karabna, we have a different way to pass from the Shaymas, only applies to Tumas Magba. Doesn't apply to any Tumas Riyah. Doesn't apply to any Tumas Shayot Tola Megufa. So Azab, Zoho, Yoledis, and Mesero, Nida, all of these people, this whole category, where it's not that they touched the Mesa, they touched another person who was in Mesero, or they touched the dead sheriff, or they touched the Neveh. It's not that the tumor was caught. They didn't catch tumor. They didn't catch it by forcing what? Makabal tumas maga. The tumor developed within their body. That's tumor hayota ola migufa. So by tumor hayota ola migufa, one opinion in Tesis is, by a need also, the first half of need, by a need also, the klali hapsak of Rishon Tzayoch, and verse of Rishon Tzayoch, don't apply. And the Mele Mitzvah is the same as the other. The other opinion in this is, well, that's them is an interesting Chiddush Mitzvah. It's called the Tumah Yotel Megufa. Mitzvah is called the Tumah Yotel Megufa, even though by Mitzvah the Tumah doesn't happen automatically. The Tumah isn't Chal until the Kohen passes his stomach. But the Kohen looks at him and he passes his stomach. You had all the Simani Tumah from earlier in the day. Yesterday you had the Simani Tumah. Until the Kohen passes his stomach, the person is not Tumah. It doesn't happen by itself. It's a little. A little unusual that this should be called the Tumah Yotel Megufa because he doesn't become Tumah automatically. But that's Allah. That's Allah. This whole category, Zav Zav and Idi Oledes and Mitzrayim, these five people are all considered Tumah Yotel Megufa. If I'm a Balkari, it's a big machlokes harishonim. A man who's a Balkari is a Shaila. Is that a Tumah Yotel Megufa? Like a Zav? The Tumah is not the same as a Zav. A Zav is Tumah for 7 days and Isha Vini came in and eats the carbon. Balkari doesn't need a carbon, it's only Tumah for 1 day. It's a different consistency, it's a different thing that comes out of the body. It's in Gansan a different thing. This is Vainus, the Shalodain, it's a sickness, and it's not a sickness. In Gansan a different thing. But the question is whether the Tumas Balkari is a Tumas Riyah, Tumah Yotel Megufa, maybe it's the Tumas Magro. When the Tipas Keri comes out of his body, just like if anyone else touches the Tipas Keri, or if a Kli, a beggar touches the Tipas Keri, so the beggar becomes Tumah. So the Balkari himself becomes stomach, Tumas Magal, when it leaves his body, it's touching his body from the outside. That's the big machlekes in the Rishon. And the first daf in Bava Kamma, the Gemara quotes the Mishnah from Taurus that says, Ovet Atumah Hasheret Vashich Vazera, the Tummy made. So Tummy Shadim Amadaik, and that's the Balayatesh, Tummy Daik, and that Mishnah. of a tatuma hashikh vazera. It doesn't say the Balkari, it says the Sheikh Vazera. But the mashmas of the Mishnah is that the Balkari himself is not an Av Hatumah, he's a Mishnah Tumah. Because he's only a Kabal Tumah from the Tipas Keri. He's not a Tumah Yosel Megufa. It's going to be a big difference. Is he an Av Hatumah? Is he a Mishnah Tumah? If it's a Tumah Smago, then he's only going to be a Mishnah Tumah. If it's a Tumah Yosel Megufa, then Balkari is going to be an Av Hatumah, big Nafkamina. So that's a big Machlokes in the Rishonim. Some point out that it looks like it's a Machlokes Hatanoim. Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky and others point out that the Sefer on the Rambam wrote a Hakdomah, the Pirush HaMishnah Seder Taris, a very long Hakdomah, which one of the scholars, one of the Jewish scholars of Jewish history, said that if that's all we would have had from the Rambam, it's just a Hakdomah to the in the Pirush HaMishnah Seder Taris, we would have known that he was one of the Goyne Hador of all generations, just a Hakdomah to that. So he puts everything and he ties together all the dinim of Taras. So it's a very condensed Hakdomah. So one of the Gedolim about 150 years ago, wrote a long commentary on this Hakdomah to the Rambam's Pirush HaMishnah Seder Taras. It's called the Sefer Main Aseret. This author of the Main Aseret wrote other stories on Mishnah Seder Taras. Some of them are printed. Some of these commentaries are printed on the side of the Vilna Shas on the Mishnah Seder Taras. Not all, there's a separate Sefer, Mayim Kedoshim. So this, in the Sefer Main Aftayach, he also points out. In this Main Aftayach, he points out also that this Machlekes HaRishon seems to be a Machlekes HaTanoim. That's where Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky also writes the same. It wasn't Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky's Chiddush, the Rishon and Main Aftayach. Main Aftayach was a classic Sefer. Also, Reichik mentioned once that his grandfather, Rav Chaim, hardly used too many Achrayim, but the Main Aftayach was always on his desk. Using the Main Aftayach when he was learning Yom HaTaras, he's learning Bava Kamma. He's not going to use the Main Aftayach. There's a different Main Aftayach and Yivamas that has nothing to do with this Main Aftayach. There's somebody else. Sefer with the same name by a different author. A Tulpa Sefer and Yivamas. But this Main Aftayach on Taras is a classic. So the one opinion in Taisus is that it's not only Mitzorah who's different, that the Kalali Hapsak of Safik Tumah Bishus Tayachad versus Bishus Ram don't apply to Mitzar, don't apply to Zab Zav or Nidia Ledis and Mitzar, don't apply to this whole category of Tumah Yosa Olav Migufa. The other opinion in Taisus in the Rishonim is that it's not correct, that the only Yosa Menachlal is Mitzar. By the others, by the Zab Zav or the Nidia Ledis, it would make a difference whether it's Bishus Tayachid or Bishus Rabim, and Mitzar is the only one that's different. The Marsha points that out. The question is, why in the world should that be so? Manishtana Mitzvah from all the others. So the Marsha doesn't explain it. But that's what the Main Aftayach quotes that Marsha. He says he's going to explain why. It's not called the Safik Tumah. The only time he called it a Safik Tumah is if the Tut Zari HaSafik Ar is Isame or is Isahar. By the Mitzvah, he doesn't become Tamli automatically. The Tut Zari HaSafik Ar is Isahar and there's no Mitzvah to Tamo, or is Isahar and there is a Mitzvah to declare that he's Tamli. Well, let's say he is Tomei, and then at the end of the week, or the second week, or the third week, the Kohen has a suffix whether he should declare him a Tohar. So it's not a suffix, is he Tomei or Tohar? No, it's a suffix, is he Tomei, and there's a mitzvah on the Kohen to declare that he's Tohar? Or is he Tomei, and there's no mitzvah on the Kohen to declare himself? So that's a suffix mitzvah. That's not called a suffix tum. The only time he's called it a suffix tum is when the two Zari have suffix art. Is the guy, is the thing Tomei, or is the thing Tohar? Whatever it is, by Mitzvah for sure it's different. By Mitzvah for sure, the Kloli HaPsak of Tumah Bishus Tayachad versus Tumah Bishus Rabim do not apply, and the Mishnah in the Goyim, as well as the Mishnah in Nazir, it's the Mishnah in the Goyim. But those who are not so familiar with the Goyim will certainly remember the Mishnah from Mishnah is Nazir, where it says that what is the Psak, how do you pass him by Safik Tumah in the Goyim? So if the Goyim has not yet declared him as Tameh, and Safik should he declare him as Tameh, so you don't. Safikly Tameh is Tahar. And if he already is Tomei, and it's a Safik Litoher, whether we should declare him a star. So you leave him the way he is. Taisus, on the side of the Gemara Nazir, is bothered with Akasha. There are Mishnais and Nazir, and of course the Mishnais are repeated again in the Goyim. The Goyim, by the way, is not so hard. Kalim is hard. But it's not so hard. It's very easy. It's just Yichazer over the whole Chumash. That's not all it is. In fact, the Mishnah says, whenever there's a Safik in Hilchus Megoyim, don't look in the Mishnah, look in the Chumash and Pasuk, because all the dinim say the Perish in the Chumash. Kalim and Aholos, that there's very little commission. The whole thing, you got to look in the Mishnah. You have a Shaila, you got to look in the Mishnah. You have a Shaila in the Gan, you look in the Mishnah. Whenever it doesn't say in the Mishnah, you just go look back in the commission. You'll figure out based on what it says. So the Mishnah in Nazir, that appears also in the Gan, has a discussion of a person who's a Sotik Mitzvah, Sotik Ein Mitzvah. So the Bali Yatayis says, how is that possible that the man should be a Sotik Mitzvah, Sotik Ein Mitzvah? He does not become a mitzvah automatically. If it's a suffix, whether the claim should declare him as a mitzvah, the Mishnah says he does not declare him as a mitzvah. He's not a suffix mitzvah. A woman can be a suffix neither, a suffix enemy. A man can be a suffix whether he touched the sheriff or not. He can be a suffix balkari. How can a person be a suffix mitzvah? If it's a suffix of chila, whether the claim is supposed to declare him a suffix, so he will not declare him a suffix, so he won't be a suffix. And if he is now b'chaz kastuma, and the claim has a suffix whether he should declare him a star. So the Mishnah says, do not declare him a star. So you don't declare him a star. He remains Tamei the other word. So you declare him a star. So how is it gemalt if you have a Suffolk Mitzvah, Suffolk Ein Mitzvah, and Taisus Kasha? So the Chara, the simple teretz is, I don't think Taisus answered that. I don't remember. Taisus and Nazir talks about the Kasha, and the Kerenera talks about the Kasha, and Nazir also. So the Chara, the simple teretz is very pashut. The Mishnah is telling you what you're supposed to do. If it's a suffix, whether the man should be declared as Tamei or not, it says the claim should not declare him as Tamei. Even the way he is. In Kozman, you don't declare. Kozman, the claim doesn't say anything, he's going to remain Tahar. If he already is Tamei Tumas and Seira, and then you have a suffix whether you should declare him as Tahar, so do not go through the procedure of Tahar or Tamei Seira. Do not declare that he's Tahar. Leave him the way he is, and the he will remain Tamei. So that's what the Mishnah tells you what you're supposed to do. What if the Kohen didn't follow the din in the Mishnah? What if the Kohen sees the man as a Suffolk Mitzvah, Suffolk and Mitzvah? So the Kohen thinks, Kohen Amoris, he doesn't know the din. So he says, Steka derais luchum, I hereby declare that you're Tomei. So if the Kohen walks over to me and he says that I hereby declare that you're Tomei, and I don't have Simoni Tzarat that corresponds to the Tumas Tzarat, he can say from today till next year, Tomei, I don't become Tomei. He's not the Tomei. Folks can do it, folks can't declare that I'm Tomei. Well, let's say I am a Mitzvah Tomei, and the Kohen declares, I hereby declare that you're Tahar. He doesn't make me Tahar. If I don't have Simoni Taharis, the Tumas and Tzaraz didn't disappear. So the Kohen can't just make a declaration, hereby declare that you're Tahar, and I become Tahar. I don't become Tahar automatically. Well, so that's what the Mishnah says. So what's the din in such a case? The Kohen sees a person who has a negat saraz and a suffix of whether you should declare him a stomach. And the din is you're not supposed to declare him a stomach. Kozman, you don't declare he will remain Tahar. So the Kohen didn't know the din. He didn't follow the din. He said, I hereby declare that you tell me suffix because take of the right to the Kohen. So that's the shayla. If he has simoni tume and you're supposed to declare him a stomach, then the declaration that you made is valid. If he doesn't have simoni tume, then it's not valid. It's a has suffix tummy, suffix tummy. In that case, the man is a suffix, the Sarah suffix, and the Sarah. Because the Kohen violated the dinim. The Kohen didn't follow the dinim that it says in the Mishnah. He's not supposed to declare him. Whenever it's a suffix, you're not supposed to open your mouth. Just keep your mouth shut. And whatever state he's in, that's what state he's going to remain. So this Mishnah goes, Achmas Kinnah, the Kohen didn't follow that din. He did declare Tomei or Tahar. And that's the shaila, whether the declaration that he made is Yesh Bo Mamish or Ein Bo Mamish. Gemara in the last Perek in Sanhedrin comments, Al-Derech HaDrash, this is L'chor, clearly not Posh Peshat and the Pasuk. There is a din of one of the three Simani Tumim is Tisayon. If the Negev Torah spreads further, at the end of the week, at the end of the 2 weeks, at the end of the period of time of Hezger, Tisayon is a Simen Tumim, and Yamachlet the Mitzvah Mukhlar, and it becomes a Mitzvah Mukhlar. All the dinim change. What happens if the Tzaraat covers up the whole body of the person from head to toe? Then the Chumash says that's a new din. Kulo hafach lovan toharhu. If the negative Tzaraat spreads over the whole body, then adarabba, then it's considered a simantar. And the Mishnah gives you the details of the din. When is Kula HaFaklav and Torah? When does it apply? When it doesn't apply? All the conditions. So the Gemara in the last Perek in Sanhedrin has a comment about when Mashiach is going to come. So the Gemara says, Ein ben David bo, asher tehapach ha-malchus kulu l'minus. That Mashiach will only come after the government will become Apikursim, Nemus, non-believers. As it says, Kula hafach Lavan, Tsaharu. Everything became Lavan, therefore it's Tsar. So what do you mean, everything became Lavan? A strange passage in the Gemara. Kula hafach Lavan, Tsaharu. Lavan usually represents that which we think is clear. Like when the Raivin has hasagas against the Rambam, so he'll often use an expression, loy mechufar, it's not white. Chivra is the Aramaic for white. So white means something that's clear that we understand. So Lavan, when you have chelus and sitzes, Lavan represents, Rabina Hirsch in his commentary on Chumash writes like that, says, the Lavan represents that in light which is clear. And the chelus represents that which is daimel kis yakov, that which we really can't fathom, things in life that are unclear. Sapi Kursim think that they know everything. Sapi Kursim are very arrogant people who think that everything is very clear to them. They know that this is not so, and that's not so, everything is very clear. So perhaps that's why tomorrow takes this expression, Kulo Hafach Lovon. When the Malkus will become Lovon, it will become Minim Soharu. So Reichik said a few times that he thought that that was fulfilled with the, which Malkus is going to become Hafach Lovon, which Malkus. So Reichik used to say a comment years ago, he thought perhaps it's referring to communists. He thought that the communist government was the first time in the history of the world that the government had as an official policy atheism. There were countries where they had Avodah Zarah official. There were still Arayamazah. There are countries where they have officially, this country is a Christian country. This country is whatever, Shinto, Buddhist, whatever, all the different Avodah Zarahs, the Minayim. So you have countries where the official policies are Avodah Zarah. You have countries with no official policy, freedom of religion, whatever you want. Do you ever have in the history of the world, do you ever have a country that has as an official policy atheism? If they want to stamp out all religion, the official policy of the government. So he thought that that's what the Gemara was alluding to. Shaila is that communism already collapsed, the Mashiach didn't come yet. So if you look in the Gemara, the Pashup Shat in the Gemara, they're talking about the Israeli government, they're not talking about the communist government. Pashup Shat in the Gemara talks the Israeli government will become Kula Hafach Lavan, Tahar Hu. They're working on it. What's the idea behind this? Why should it be so? Why should the Rebbeinu Shel Olam bring the Mashiach after Kula Hafach Lavan? The Hafach HaMalchus Kula LaMinus, when the official policy of the Israeli government will be one of Minus, one of atheism and so on. Why should that be so? Very strange. So I suggested maybe it's based on a notion that appears in the Mishnayos regarding Afrashas Truma. There is a thing when you mafish Truma, so you have to have Reishis Shesherei Nikorim. Usually you take off 2%. If you want to give 1-2% of all of Ra, you want to give 99%, fine. But if you want to give 100% of all of the Tzvua, should be Truma. So the Mishnah says that it's a Kargana Truma, it's not Chal, because we require that Truma should be Reishis. Reishis Dugan Chatirash Vatirash. Reishis implies Shiorei Nikorim, you have to leave something over. If you don't leave anything over, then it's not Chal. So the Mishnah has this din benegeir to Chala, benegeir to Truma, but not benegeir to Reishis Aged. Even though the same expression appears, Reishis gave Sen Chatit and Roy, so it should also say Reishis. It doesn't, the din is not so. The din is the Chayrish not so. The farmer wants to give away all the wool to the Kohen. Isn't that? Not Mechitza, but if you want to even. So the Mefarshim and the Mishnah says, why should there be this description? The Pasha Pshat, if you want to give a teretz, you can give a very simple teretz. I am not a teretz. It's a question, it's not a kasha. Why, how come the din by Chala and Truma requires Shiorei Nikorim? By Reishis Aged it doesn't. So the Pasha Pshat is that by Chala and Truma there's an Issa Tevel. So the Hafrash is coming to be Mata the Issa. So you can only say it's Matir if by being Mafrish this, I'm Kurish Shem on this. This is called Truma, so the Mela, that becomes Chula Mesukonim. It has to be Mata something. So normally you take off 2%. You give it to the coin, and 98% become Muslim. You want to be very generous, you give 50% to the coin, and the 50% is Shum. You want to be even more generous, very, very generous, you give 99% to the coin, and the 1% remains Chul and the Sukkot. But you want to give 100%. So what do you mean? This is Matir. What? What is it Matir? It's Matir itself. That's not Matir. The Halacha says when you have Shumah, that's Matir. But you said several, has to be Matir something other than itself. Has to be Matir something else. Maybe that's the Pashup Shot. By Reishis Aged, there is no Issa Tevel. So there is no Afrosh of Reishis Aged. You say, I'm Mafrish, Reishis Aged, to be Matir, Issa Tevel on the other thing. The whole Lashon doesn't apply. There's no Afrosh and there's no Matir Zayn. So maybe that's the simple reason why. But the Mefarshim and the Mishnah don't say that. The Malach HaShlomo, who raises the question, I think HaMishnah is Chala, if I'm not mistaken. Malach HaShlomo is one of the Sfaradish Gzolim, has a running commentary on the bottom of the Mishnah. The standard, the Sig Yochan and Boyer's edition. So he suggests, I think he quotes from Kabbalah sources. Sfaradim are more attuned to Kabbalah than the Ashkenazim. So they understood it better. So the Malach HaShlomo, I think, quotes from earlier sources that Truma and Chala have Kedusha. So the Kedusha is enhanced when you see Kodesh next to Kol. This is Kodesh and this is Kol. So by contrast, if you have Torah Umado, so the Torah is on a higher level. You just have Torah, Torah of the year, Torah Masorah, so from Masorah. So there's Torah and Torah, so there's no contrast. When you have a contrast, then the Kedusha is more noticeable, more conspicuous. And L'chatchila Yata Mukav. The sheet is that the din of mukav is the din deraisa. You have to have the kodesh next to the chol. You see, mamish a contrast. This is kodesh in comparison to that, in contrast to that. But that's called Masheni came by Reish Tagez. There's no kedusha at all. Reish Tagez doesn't have any kedusha, so you don't need that there should be any chol to draw the contrast. So perhaps that's what the chachamim had in mind over here. The Gemara has a din in brachas that you should always be eager to mekabel panei hamalachim. In the middle of the sugi of Kavod Abrius, the Gemara says the person, Yom Yoritzav Mikras Malachim, Voleirak Mikras Malta Yisrael Alafin Mikras Malta Yom Asoil. Should always go run to see royalty. Why should you run to see the royalty? Kedeshayim Yizke Yavchin. So Rashi says, what do you mean? If you'll be Zoychah to be Mikabel Tanei Mashiach Tzidkenu, if we'll live so long, we should be Mikabel Tanei Mashiach. So we should notice the difference. This is the real member. That the Melech HaMashiach is going to have, this is a real holy man, this is Taka Melech. We should see what a Melech is like, what the Israeli government is like, we should see what the British government is like, we should see what Roosevelt was like, and what Truman was like, and what Nixon was like, and what Carter, and what all the Goyish kings over here, what all the Malachim are like, what all the presidents are like, and then we'll see a contrast that this is a holy man with Kedusha, with Ruach HaKodesh, with the Stavis and everything. So if you Kadesha Yimizke Yavchen, you should see the Hafkwana. So it's an Indian to stress, to understand better and deeper the Kedusha and the Hashivas of the Melech HaMashiach. So the Gemara says, if you will have been Mekabel Panei Malachim, other Malachim, Malchi Yisrael, Malchi Yisrael, then you'll understand better what the Hashivas of the Melech HaMashiach is. So perhaps that's what the Chachamim meant over here. I don't know, maybe that's what they meant, that right before Mashiach will come, Eim Adolibar, Shetafah HaMalchus Kula Laminus, so that there'll be such a contrast. Mamish Lahavdol and Kodesh L'chol Alot Alfa Abdol, if you have right before the period of the Eretz Hamashiach, there's going to be a Malchus Yisrael, the government, and Eretz will be all Apikursim, atheists, and then there's going to come Mashiach, who's going to be Mamish the opposite. It's going to be a man full of Kedusha and Precious and Midas Tovus and Roch HaKodesh and everything, so the Kedusha will be enhanced. The Kedusha will be more conspicuous and more noticeable by virtue of the fact that you have a contrast right in front of your eyes. It's like Truman, that you have Sheran, Nikoram, and you have Mukov, the one next to the other. So it's, so the Kedusha is more noticeable. So there's a Mishnah in the Goyim where it says that when the Kohen looks at the Negat Saras, he shouldn't look at more than one Negat Saras at the same time, whether they're both on the same person, let's say one is on the right arm, one is on the left arm, or they're on two different people, let's say two people have a Negat Saras. He shouldn't look at both of them together, and then Paschim should look at one at a time and Paschim, and then look at the second one and Paschim. The Mishnah doesn't give the reason why. One might perhaps say that the reason why is because they know it's a mitzvah chavilas chavila. The Tzid has an arichas on that. The Tzid in his commentary on the Shultz has an arichas on that may possibly be the reason for the bit. But the Mepharshim on the Mishnah is, I think it could be that the Tzferet Yisrael, they give a different reason why. I think it's in the second Tzferet Yisrael. They give a different reason why. They say because the Negat Saras, you have to be very careful to assess the proper shade and the proper color of the Negat Saras. Is it this color, is it that color? And depending on what color it appears to be, that's how the Kohen is going to determine whether he should declare it as Tomei or not. And the Mishnah says, certain hours of the day, at certain hours of the day, the sun is too strong, so then you shouldn't look at the Negat Saras, because you'll get the wrong impression of what the color is. And if it's a cloudy day, Yom HaMunim, you also shouldn't look at the Neges HaRas, not on Autumn, not on Sumas Batim. It has to be at certain hours of the day when the sun is not too bright and not too shady. Maybe that's why I think that Tzvarek Yisrael writes on Mishnah, that you shouldn't look at two Maris Negoim, and then Paskin on each one. You should rather look at one at a time and Paskin on it, in order not to get confused with the color. So it could be relevant for us also, B'negeya to, let's say, Damanida, Maris of Damanida. Sometimes an issue comes with a shayla of a Mara Damanida, it's not so precious, whether it's a Mara Tohar or a Mara Tomin. So some Rabbanim sit in Bati Dinim and they have 50 Maras Negoim. They have, not Maras Negoim, they have 50 Maras that they have to look at. So if they're going to look at all 50 and then say, well, this for sure is Tomei, each one has a number. Each woman leaves a number and an envelope and something. This one's Tomei, this one's Tomei, this is Tomei, this is Tomei. And then they're going to leave the 25 that are left, then they're going to work on those. Well, this is worse than this, this is this, this is this. If you learn the Mishnah like that the Mishnah is not telling you a din from, you know, it's a mitzvah, chavilas, arias, negoim is a mitzvah, you shouldn't do them mass production. You should do one at a time. If you learn the Mishnah is telling you a din that you're going to get confused in colors and you shouldn't, you should look at each color separately and paskin on it and then move on to the next one and paskin on it, and maybe such a din should apply to ksamim as well. That Rabbanim who paskin on maris for shemus nashim should not look at them mass production. They should do one at a time, maybe. Let's see. Where, anybody remember, where did we leave off in the Hilchas Tzitzis? I don't remember. We're in Simon Tet? I think it says even on the same person you should not. You should do one at a time. I think we learned some of that, no? Rav Simon Yud? Rav Simon Yud to thank, huh? Tassif Elam and Arthur. The Pasuk says, G'dilam Tassif Elachor, the Mishnah Berurah writes in Yud Dalet, the bottom of the page 34, the last line of page 34, it's cut in Yud Dalet, in Simon Yud. It says, G'dilam Tassif Elachor, and the Tanayim Darshan Tassif Elam and Arthur, that when you tie the Tzitzis on, it has to be Behechsher. So if you have a three-cornered garment that's not tied in stitches, and you put on stitches in one corner, then you take one of the other corners and you cut it in such a way that I just made it into two corners. Now it's a four-cornered garment, but this one stitches that you tied on was tied on before the beged was mechuyev. So that's an example of a psul of tassav lemon arsav. Then the Shulchan Aruch is going to have more examples later of a psul of tassav lemon arsav. Take, for example, another case. The person... Take for example another case, Simon Yud Aleph Sif Yud. Achut Nsof Sheyud Tvuyim Lishman Wrong Sif. Sif Beis. On the top of page 39. It's Shichim Shizirim Sheyud Shizirim Lishman. Shizirim means that the Chutzi Atzitzis should be twined. This is really a Machlekes HaRishon, whether this is so. In the Be'er HaGoyla on the top of page Chav, on the top of page 39, he says as the Ma'am Akam for that being Shichim Shizirim. Mashmor is HaGemara the Erev in Tzadik Vav. The Gemara says in Hamaitse Tfilin. The Gemara talks in Hamaitse Tfilin. I find a pair of Tfilin, so do I assume that they're kosher or that they're imitation, that they're fake? If they're kosher, then I have to see to it that I should be Mishama, then the Kushasam, that I shouldn't let them. I'm walking down the street and I find a pair of Tfilin in a garbage can. So I have to take them out of the garbage can and then put them away in Sheamus. Or if they're kosher, so use them, give them to someone. I shouldn't leave it there. If it's just a toy, an imitation, so I can leave it in the garbage can. So the Gemara says, how can you tell if it is so, if it's not so? The Gemara discusses. Then the Gemara there also, that's the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah says, I'm going to fill in the Shabbos, what does he do? And there's no Erev, he's not allowed to carry, so he puts on the tefillin. But only if it looks like it's kosher tefillin. If it looks like it's an imitation here tefillin that a boy made, that a Apikoros made, so then you leave it there. You know, you don't have any coolness. So then the Gemara discusses also, what if a person... digging in the Qumran cave, someone was talking about this, someone is digging in the caves of Eretz, and they find string that's dyed chelus. Does he have the right to assume that that's chelus or not? So the Gemara says, well, if it's so long, the length that you usually use for putting tzitzit, and a shizurim, and a twine, then mistama, you should assume that these were made properly for tzitzit. Why does it have to be shizurim? So the Rambam learns the Pashuk Shani Gemara, because tzitzit have to be shizurim, the strings have to be twined. You have to take at least two strings and twine them together. Just that one thread, each one of the eight strings of the, each one of the four long strings of the tzitzis that turn out later to be X strings when you pull them up is going to be just one single thread. That can be twined. So then the simple pshat in Gemara is that it's not kosher for the mitzvah. How do you know that it has to be twined? So it's a sifrei. The Ber Avodah refers to it. It's a sifrei. The Baal HaTosfos has quoted. The sifrei says just like by the Digdei Kuna, the chutim has to be shizurim, so it's over here. The Artzus Achayim points out, here the Mishnah Berurah quotes this and says, Katan Yudalad. Artzus Achayim points out that as a mitzvah, min amufkwa, many people do, kofel shmeina. What's that, this kofel shmeina? But since the sifrei, there are different brightness in the sifrei. So depending on which one of the big dikuni learning it out from, will determine how many threads you have to point together. So according to one source, it's enough if it's six. And according to the other source, one would require eight. And that's the biggest chumash. You're going to have shazur more than eight. It's not one parcel altogether makes one string. It doesn't parcel if it's more than kofel shmeina. But the maximum there possibly could be a shita that you need is kofel shmeina. The Rabbeinu Tam and Taisa disagreed with the whole thing. He says that there is no such thing that you need shazurim on tzitzis. The Gemara just said, introduction to the Sefer Yoshem. He writes that that's what prompted him to write, that's why they prompted him to write this Sefer. His Chaver and his Talmidim told him, Rebbe, you better write a Sefer because of all of your Chedusha Torah. So he says, and they encouraged him specifically because of his interpretation of this Gemara Erev and about the Shazur. He says, this do not need Shazur. This is it. We don't pass like that, Rabbeinu Tam. This is the reason why the Rabbeinu Tam wrote the Sefer Yoshem, because his Shita shouldn't be forgotten. So this is the. This is the shizur. So Shulchan Aruch says that you need shizur. A yalfusa. So just the yalfusa. Tchelus, tchelus. Since tchelus has to be shizur, if a man loven has to be shazur also. And the tchelus should be shazur, the same as the tchelus in the big dikun of a shazur, that we have to look in there. So depending on which one of the big dikun you're working with, the Malvin points out, will determine how much of a shizira do you need. So the maximum you can possibly need is kofel shmeina. Now, it's commonplace. Everybody knows you buy kofel shmeina to consider. Mishnah Berurah makes fun of it a little bit. He says, I don't really understand why people are so medactic on the kofel shmeina to get hang up. He says, mikra din, it's enough if it's kofel shnayim. As long as you have shizurim, the Shulchan Aruch, the Rishonim don't say. This is the Malbim came up with this. It depends what he learned from this. One of the big dikunas, and that one of the big dikunas. So the biggest chumrah is eight. So he says, there's so much bit about the kofel shmeina. And then I'm not good at all that the shazira should be done by a Jew. A lot of times the shazira is done by non-Jews. That's connected us in. The tzviya of the Eilat is called Asriya Satsin. So the tzviya sachutim, when you take the wool and you convert it into thread, that's called tzviya. So the tzviya has to be done with shmo, that's like Gemara. So the tzviya of the Eilat, we assume, has to be done with shmo. So the shazira is done after the tzviya. First I make tzviya, and I make the wool into thread, and then I take two threads and I twine them together to make the one chut. There's a shailan shochanach, what about niputs? The first Ramor, and Simon Yudalat, it's on page 37, on page Yutes. Ramor says, V'yesh machma afilu l'napsan l'shmala, midik l'hakov b'niputs, mart chavi agudet. Then on the bottom of the page, Mishnah Berurah quotes, the priest of Hashem Arami Prag, that l'chatchili yesh l'hakov l'napsan l'shmala. Niputs means, when you take out all of the dirt from the wool, you have a special a hand machine that you bang one against the other, and it cleans out all the dirt. That's the niput, but it's still just in the state of wool. You didn't convert it yet into thread. Zios when converted into thread. So there are those who are even machmet to do the niput l'shma, and the Ramah says the minig is not done. The meaning is that we start from the tzviya on. The tzviya of the Eilat is called Asiya Satsitsis. So the Asiya has to be done with Shema. That's the way we use them. Asiya has to be done with Shema. The Gemara says that if a goy ties the tzitzis onto the beged, it's no good, because it says, Abel b'nei Yisrael v'asa lahem tzitzis. Abel b'nei Yisrael v'asa l'mor v'l'sarim v'yosa. If a goy ties the tzitzis, it's possible. So the Rambam understood from that Gemara that it's a special Xeris HaKosim, that if a goy makes it, it's no good. If it didn't work, that tying on the stitches, tying on the chutim onto the beg, it has to be done l'shmo. Of course the goy is no good. A goy who is any b'teirah, mitzvah stitches, cannot create l'shmo. That's a universal din. Whenever somebody is any b'teirah, is any given mitzvah, he's unable to make l'shmo. Let's say matzah has to be baked l'shmo. But the din is that women can bake matzahs also. Why? Because women are not cleaving the mitzvah of matzah, despite the fact that it's a Zman Groma. If it didn't, would have been a women of Potter from Matzah. They wouldn't be able to make Lishma either. A Goy can't make Lishma. A Goy can't make Lishma and a Get. And every Knani also can't make Lishma and a Get. Any Bataris gives me Kiddushin. Whoever is any Bataris cannot make Lishma. That's how the Rabbi Natam understood. That's why the Rabbi Natam says that a woman cannot tie the tzitzis, because the woman is Eina B'teres Mitzvah Tzitzis. A woman is B'teres Mitzvah Matzah, so she can make the Matzah L'shma. But Tzitzis needs a Fiyah L'shma. Women are not Mekoyim, so just like the Gemara says, women are possible for making Tzillin, so to the Rabbeinu Tam, it gives up name on the basis that women are possible for a Fiyah Tzitzis. But the Rambam holds not so. The Rambam holds that that the Gemara just says, if a Goy makes the tzitzis, it's no good. And the Gemara learns a pasuk, Zabal b'nei Yisrael b'yotzeh lo tzitzis. B'nei Yisrael b'yotzeh v'lai anachem b'yotzeh. So what do you need a pasuk for? And every Goy does an asti, it's always shaloi l'shma. So the Rambam is medayik from this. Shira, tachutim, ala beggar do not have to be l'shma. So a Goy cannot tie, but an isha or a cotton can certainly tie. And the Balei HaTosfos disagree with the Rambam. They said, no, that's... They said, no, a goy is a nuptul. I want to need a nuptul. If you hold that mitzvah v'yelech, all the asiyas mitzvah v'yelech, a minipus v'yelech, whatever it is, mitzvah, a minipus v'yelech, need asiyah v'shmah, so why do you need an additional pasuk to say that a goy cannot do the kshirah? A goy cannot create the shmah because he's ain't the Torah. So apparently in the Shulchan Aruch they have... on page 38, the Mechaber quotes a machloikah. That's a simon yiral of the day. Zvon hanachar v'yisrael lemin agabel v'yam yishayas v'shmon l'haram b'chotu v'l'harash kosher. Let's say a guy is writing a get. Yisrael lemin agabel, and he tells him write the get for shmon. It's a religious necessity that we need a religious divorce. So the Gemara says even like Yisrael lemin agabel, it's considered as if the get were written shalal v'shmon. Akam adayt and enav shikovit. So the Rosh, as representing the Shita's Balei HaTosfos, says the medvar mamurim, that's only by a get, because it takes a long time, it takes half an hour to write a get. They have to think lishma the whole time. True, if he thinks lishma in the beginning, so we say kaloyis adas v'shein ho'eitzer. If he started writing the get lishma, he continued writing the entire get lishma. But to say that the goy is going to have machshava lishma the whole time, Yisrael lemin agabel v'malamdo will help a little bit. So part of the get will be considered written lishma by the goy. That's how the Rosh holds. But since it takes half an hour, that's too long. But what about a pu'uba that's chatani? Let's say we learned that when we learned in chassidim, we have this rush there also. Let's say to do the ibud ha'orah, to take the leather and convert it into parchment. So the Gemara says ibud ha'or has to be done l'shma. How do you do ibud ha'or? You throw a packet of chemicals into the thing, and that's it. And that happens by itself. So throwing the packet of chemicals into the vat that has the leather soaking in the water, that takes a second. So the rush is of the opinion that if the Nachri does it, the Yisrael Emin Agapov, and he doesn't do it because we have a religious mitzvah, tzillin, yeah, he shows him a tzillin, the Rosh holds that it is good. And the same over here, if it's a pula that doesn't take so long, he has a chutin to make tzitzis, doesn't take it, does not take as long as writing a ger, the Rosh learns the Gemara Kilo, a Nachri hot ashrachikov. So to expect that the Nachri should concentrate for half an hour, the Shema from the beginning to the end, that's too much to expect from him. Even like Yisrael Emin Agapov over Mitzaveh. But to concentrate for half a minute, so what's so difficult? If the Yisrael keeps on insisting, I should do it with Shema. So for half a minute, I can do the Shema. That's how the Rosh seems to have understood. The Rambam understands that Nochri doesn't have a Shvachet Kof, but Rav Chaim explains in the Sefer Tzalocha. How come I died in Afshikov in Tzalocha that a Nochri is Mufka from Asiyah the Shema? That's the Poshiv Shah. So the Rambam understood from his Gemara, the fact that the Gemara needs the pasuk to say that the Nochri cannot do the Kshiras Chutei Atzitzis, what's the problem? Of course he cannot do the Kshira if he needs Lushma. So if the right that Kshiras Chutei Atzitzis does not need Lushma, just a Goy is possible. An Isha or a Kosin would be Kosher for the Kshiras Achutim. The Bari Atzitzis hold not, so they hold on. I need the pasuk to tell me that a Nochri cannot do Mitzviya V'yeloch or possibly Menipus V'yeloch as Atzitzis Chutei Atzitzis, that needs Lushma. And Koshkein is Kshiras Achutim ala Begit. That for sure needs Asiyah Lishma. That certainly needs Asiyah Lishma. The only thing is, the Gemara meant to say like this, what if a Nachri ties the Chutim on the Beged, the Yisrael, and the Agabah, and the Tzaveh, and how long does it take to tie the Chutim? Half a minute. So maybe then he saw them in Agabah, maybe then he can do the Shema. So that's what the Gemara needed the Pasuk, even though he can do the Shema because it's how Yisrael, and the Agabah. It doesn't take half an hour, it takes half a minute. It's still no good because of Xeris HaKosov, of Zabal B'nai Yisrael, the Yisrael, The name Shof Yosef Lo Yomatzar Olam Yosef. So the Mishnah Berurah raises a question. The couple Shmaya is just Lachav Chila. That's not Niyakeh B'Diyevet. That's for sure. He makes fun of it a little bit. The Mishnah Berurah. My people are some adaktim. Mav makes it like it's a real. The Akiv Zachai makes it like it's a real Yafusta. Depending on which one of the big Dikuni learning up from, that will determine how many chutim you need, and the biggest chumah can be shmaina, so you make kofel shmaina. Mishnah Berurah makes fun. So he says, well, how come there's so medactic that it should be kofel shmaina, they're not medactic that it should be done, the tfiyah should be done either Yisrael. In Italian is in Europe, a lot of times it was done either not. So the Mishnah Berurah raises a question, what happens if you have chutim, you did like the Rabbi Natan, you use chutim for tzitzis that were not shizurim, they're going to be very, very thin, single thread, each one of the eight strings is a single thread. It's very uncommon that a person. Anyway, the Rabbeinu Tam says that it's good. You can do it like that. Even though it's not twine, it's good. So we would pass in the Shulchan Aruch that it's no good. It has to be Shizurim, it has to be Shizurim Lishma. Two, it has to be Shizurim, it has to be Shizurim Lishma. So what happens if you have tzitzis that are not Shizurim, and I tied the knot already on the bag, and I tied the top knot, then I realize, Gibal, it's not Shazur. So can I take another string and make it Shazur now, if I've already tied it onto the bag? Would that be a tool of Tas of Elohim and would that be a psul of tas of eleven osses? I think the Mishnah Berurah discusses this. But l'chor that should also be tas of eleven osses. But you shouldn't be able to do the shazir after it's already tied onto the beggar. It's too late. Because it wasn't, it didn't have a hechsher. It didn't have the hechsher at the time that he was tying it on. That's the Bir Aloch on the bottom line on page Chof. Neither that Filim Yir Tach Gach Tishaz Milan Hashim Tatsu B'Lam and Osir. He thinks that that's no good. And he has another interesting shot about Tatsu B'Lam and Osir. The din is, I mean, I tell you wrong if I have to put this, it's on a beggar that belongs to you. I'm counting these day hem. And as Halash Shulah, so from that process we learn how, number one, the beggar should belong to me, number two, the chutei atzitzis has to belong to me. If the chutei atzitzis don't belong to me, also no good. So what if I took someone else's chutei atzitzis and I tied them onto my beggar? The jamas of chutei atzitzis, I tied them onto my beggar. That's no good. I'm not. My beggar is chutei atzitzis. I put on someone else's strings, it's not kosher, it's not shalim. But then I go to the owner of the and he sells it to me. I give him, he sells the tzitzit. How can he sell it? I say, he's going to be shoot sign. I'll give it back to him. I'll make a hashav, I'll give him back the whole talus with the tzitzit, it's your strings, and then he sells it back to me for $5. But at the time that I tied the chutim onto the beggar, it was Einishali. So would that be a psul of the Einishali? Number one, the strings didn't belong to me, and number two, it was a mitzvah b'aveira, because it was a tzitzit zula. So would you call that also a tzitzit of alayman or but he's saying, no, that ownership is not chassid l'mnas. Chassid l'mnas only applies if the beggar only has three corners. So the beggar is not chassid l'mnas. Or chassid l'mnas, if the Shulchan Aruch is going to have another case. Let's say I have just a little piece of cloth that has a corner on it, and I'm going to tie on, let's say like this. Let's say I have an old talus that's all worn out, and I'm going to throw it out in the garbage. But if the shot is such expensive chelus, it's so expensive. It's going to cut off the corner. It's going to cut off the corner of the talus. All four corners are going to cut off. Then he's going to tie himself a new talus, take a scissors, cut off the corner in each corner of the talus, and sew on this corner. Sew on the corner that he just snipped off from the other talus. So the Shulchan Aruch tells you the dinim, when is it good, when is it no good? Sometimes it will be good in rare cases, and very often it will be no good because Tas of Elam and Osir. Because the string, the chutei atzitzis was tied on to the thing during the period of time when I snipped it off before I sewed it on the beggar. So they were tied on to the piece of cloth which didn't have a shein beggar, which wasn't chayvim tzitzis. Then when you tie it on, it's not kosher. When you sew it on to the new beggar, it's not kosher. But this is a shayla, what about bailus? The Mishnah Berurah is not sure That's on the top, on the bottom line, this tapak, this bottom line on page 40, in the Bir Allah, this tapak, this she goes on putting pieces in the Haveroi. So after she hit him, the dig the Shilim la Abura on the son of Matana. You have to untie the whole pieces and tie it up again because Tash is Lavan. Also, you're not. With Sarach Iyun Godol. Sarach Iyun Godol. Interesting shy, is that called a psu? Oh, it's just a din that you're not yetzim. The tzitzis are not yours. You're not yetzim. Anyway, that's the halacha of tasav lavanot. That's in Sif Hei. We're back again, page 34, in Sif Yud, Simon Yud, in Sif Hei. So the Shulchan Aruch has a din of tasav lavanot. Middle of Sivav. Beginning of Sifrov is never comes up by us. By little children it sometimes comes up. When my son gets Hanan the nearest, they ask to put on a talus. When he walks up, the talus is too big for him. He's so short and skinny. The talus is all the talus are too big, so he folds it in half. So the way he folds it in half, it comes out that he has two stitches in the front, two stitches on the right side, two stitches in the front on the left side, and in the back he has a fold with no stitches hanging down. So the Shulchan Aruch discusses that. Let's say my son is before Bar Mitzvah. Let's say a person hits the Bar Mitzvah, always wears his beged like that. He has a big talus which is too big and he folds it over. So if he sews it down on all three sides, so that's the way the beged is going to be, so then he doesn't, then he's not supposed to have two stitches over there, two stitches over there. He's supposed to have one over there, one over there, that's one corner, and one over there, that's also a corner. But if he never sews it down, then you need the tzitzis on the four extreme corners of the beged, even though you wear the beged folded over. That doesn't matter. Because at the fold, that's not a konach of the beged. What happens, Tak, if the beged is too long for an adult? And the adult wears it always folded over. So it has to be sewn up a little bit. How much does it? You have to sew it on all three sides? The fourth side, it doesn't have to sew it. It's just folded it over anyway. So you have to sew it down on all three sides, or is it much thicker if he sews it down on one side? If he sews it down, let's say, on the side opposite the fold. So it's always going to be like that. It's enough if he sews it down on one side to deter, to declare that that now you have four corners. Instead of the four corners. So there's a detailed discussion here in the Mishnah Berurah with the Sachaim. I don't know that it ever comes up. The second half also never comes up, but the second half of Sivrav is a very fascinating machlokes. The Rambam and the Raisa, the Mechaber paskens of course like the Rambam, like always, and the Ramot says no, we paskim like the other Rishonim, because Rav Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. The Shaila from Baltaisis, have tzitzis in each one of the four corners of the beged, and then the guy adds on another tzitzis in this corner. So he has two tzitzis coming out from the same corner, from the same neket, in the same corner. So the Gemara seems to say that that's an issue of baltais. That you wear the talus the way it is now, you'll be in violation of baltais. So how do you remove baltais? Cut off either one tzitzis or the other tzitzis. Cut off one or the other. The shaila is, but when I tied on the second chutayat tzitzis, so the shots when I tied them on, I wasn't allowed to wear the whole beged. So that asiya was the taslu. So if I'll cut off the first, the one, the older tzitzit that was there, the chayrit, and I'll leave the new one there, so that should be a shayla of taslu lemonos. So the Raivit, the Ramor quotes from the Raivit, the Rav Rishon, Yeshmach Shem Mecholinye Mecheinike. He says it does make a difference, but he cut off the first tzitzit, cut off the second tzitzit. It's not possible. You'll be, if you wear the talus the way it is, you'll be in violation of both tzitzit. But it's not a psulah in the tzitzit. The first tzitzit is good, the second tzitzit is good. We recommend that you better not wear the tzitzit, the talus, the way it is now, in order not to violate baltais. But there are more paskens that have nothing to do with tzitzit of Lebanon. And the Rambam has a psakansa story over here. The Rambam says, if he put on a second tzitzit in a corner, if he put on a second sitter in one of the four, in any one of the four corners, or in all four corners, and he wasn't thinking, he likes it better with two sitters. Everybody has their own thing. These people do this, these people do this. He wants to have two sitters coming out of everything. Everybody has their own meaning. So, and then later on, the rabbi taps him on the shoulder. He says, "Bal Tosis, my friend, you're not allowed to do that." So the rabbi writes where they cut off the first tzitzit, the first tzitzit that was there first, or the second tzitzit. And either way, it's going to be a psul of tassel lanon. It's no good, because at the time that he added one on, there was a din of Bal Tosis, and the whole thing was puzzle. The whole beged was puzzle. And therefore, whichever one you'll cut off will be a violation of tassel lanon. So you got to take everything off and start all over again. Unless, the Rambam understood the Gemara is saying, unless when he put on the additional tzitzit, he had in mind, Melechatchila is going to remove the older one, because it's yellowish already, and he's only going to leave the newer one. The newer one is prettier and it's not worn out. But if he had this in mind, in this Kabbalah, Baplus HaRishayna, Chotach HaRishayna, Ukshayra. Very strange. Why should that make a difference? Just because he had in mind to remove the older one. Or to make a difference, very strange. The Rabbit asks on that Rambam, the whole thing doesn't make any sense. For that, you have to figure out what's the machlokes. See, the Zayin, the Shulchan Aruch talks about a person who has an undershirt that has a slit on the side. The undershirt, let's say, has a round neck. And on the bottom, it was round also, but then it made a slit. So if the slit only goes up part of the way, doesn't go row, then it's not called Dalit Kamplis. It's not called a new Kanaf. If the slit goes up row of the side of the beggar, then it is called a Kanaf, and you have Dalit Kanaf, and Yechayim says, what if the slit goes up Machta Machta? So then the Shulchan Aruch says that Yechayim is Safek. And the top line on page 36 saying, yes, you love the Shabbos, but since it's only a Safek, so the Mishnah Berurah says you shouldn't say a Bracha on it. Aim of Rokhan Allah, the Mishnah Berurah called Rokhan, because it's only a Safek, Chayvet Tzitzit, and yes, love the Shabbos, because it may be a Masdui. The only time you're permitted to wear Tzitzit on Shabbos is when you're sure that it's kosher. Call him the Chubel of Begit, the Begit Dam Zonam and Dark and Chav. Dark and Chav, because the Begit is Chayvet Tzitzit. And the Tziv has in his Tshuvah, in the Mesh of Tzitzit, we mentioned that the Tziv has a Tshuvah that he sent to the Tala Mechav and Mishnah Berurah. Either Tzimin Aleph or Tzimin Beit. Where he disagrees with something the Mishnah Berurah wrote, so the Chari is disagreeing with the Mechavah here also. In Simon Yud Tzim Zayin. Mishnah Berurah said you have to be careful that your talus cotton is a significant size. If it's going to be too tiny, then you'll be saying a bracha l'batola on al mitzvah tzitzit, because it's too small to be considered a beged. And then when you wear such a apokatis in the street on Shabbos, you'll be in violation of the Yisur Haitzur. So then it says he doesn't understand. The bracha l'batola he understands, but he says the Chilul Shabbos by himself, he doesn't understand. The clause, b'chubu l'beged k'beged on it. Whatever is dark in the cup. So this guy always wears an upper counter with the strings hanging on. Let's say I wear a jacket with strings hanging on. Let's say a woman wears a dress with strings. She wears a tichel with strings hanging on. Because that's the way she likes to wear it. Dark in the cup. If I wear a jacket with strings hanging out, say, it ain't dark in the cup, but then you say, b'chubu l'beged, it's not k'beged. It's not dark of a compass. This guy always wears the upper compass with his tzitzit hanging on, even if it's not kosher. This is dark of a compass, that should be bought to Lagabi the beggar. So Lachari, his argument, Lachari is against the Mechaber on the top line on page 36.
What about the
also not, no. If you're not in fulfillment of the mitzvah, then you're not permitted to put on Shabbat. Then it says just as a sign against one thing. Why the Mishnah Berurah wrote that there's an issue of wearing the beged in the street on Shabbos because of Hoytzor. Hoytzor on what? I don't saw on the beged, I saw on the strings. The time is why, but the strings are mechubel a beged, the dark of kach, he leaves it all week like that. So why is it gora from strings on a dress that the woman always wears like that? That's her style.
The beged is
on that, ah. Probably not. Dalti Tashtus not. Would you say the Bimu Gadim talks about that? Essay, Derech Eloi Tzeset, what if it's only a Tzafik Essay? Is a Tzafik Essay Derech Eloi Tzeset? The Tashtus is certainly not. Bimu Gadim has a Shaila, is a Tzafik Essay Derech a Tzafik Eloi Tzeset? But here it's a Tzafik Essay and a Vada Eloi Tzeset. So a Tzafik Essay, I think for sure, is not Derech a Vada Eloi Tzeset. It's not a noy anymore, but still, so treat it like mechubel a beged, the dark of the cap. Zina kebeged. Why do you have to say it's amnoy that it enhances the beged because he makes a kima mitzvah? Say mechubel a beged, kebeged
dam. I mean, you have to be honest. You have to make mechubel dam, not just one ruin.
Yeah, but what if that's the way I always wear it? And from the very beginning, it really didn't enhance anything. Let's have the shopper's label inside. Have the label of the suit inside. It doesn't enhance the value of the suit. The suit, I always wear it attached inside. There are more rights in Shulchan Aruch. The Jews were required by the Pope to wear a yellow badge sewn onto their good. Or Eagle Hayorok. So he says Eagle Hayorok. If he sewed it onto the Begin, Mechubla Begin, Kebeginam, they wore it all week long. They wore Shabbos in the weekday. Yes, if the guy has such a pair of Abercrombies, it's very tiny. He wears the same Abercrombies that he wore as a little baby when he was 4 years old. So he wears it now, he's still 40 years old, he wears the same Abercrombies. So it's too tiny, it's nothing, so there's no mitzvah. But that's the way the guy always wears it, with the strings on it. So the Mishnah Berurah didn't say that it's a masoy on the beggar, just chapters on the chutim. Why is the chutim worse than the beggar? The chutim is a mechubal of the beggar, the beggar's done. It's supposed to be tzitzis, and it is. Okay, could be. Anyway, the Mechaber seems to say like that. The Mechaber writes like that it's a problem. It's not just the time it's going to Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah points out in Sifkot on Chof Hei, on the bottom of page Yuches, that a lot of people make a mistake and have these undershirts, so they want to measure from below the sleeves till the bottom, and they make a slit the Rubai. So he says that's not enough, and you make a slit the Rubai from below the sleeves, because the beggar goes all the way up to here. Rubai means Rubah of the old beggar till the top, not from the sleeves till below. So he says that was a common practice in Europe, and he says that it's not correct, that it's not right. Then it says in Sif Yud, what if you have a beggar where the main motivation in wearing the beggar is a mitznefes, the main motivation wearing the beggar is to cover the head. And then like the Arab sheikhs wear them, and maybe the thing hangs down not only on the head, it hangs around the back, and it hangs around a little bit in the front also. It covers up Rosh HaBerubah, but the main, he really has clothes, he has a whole suit on. He doesn't need this to cover the body. He only needs this to cover the head. So the Mechaber writes, Kimishi Kor L'chasas HaRosh is not Chayiv and Tzitzis because Kisus Chor HaMarachmona V'lo Kisus HaRosh. You're not Chayiv. So that's the Shaila that the Mishnah Berurah raises in Sifkot and Lama Gimel. So what about the people who wear a silver atara on the top of the talus, and then they wear the talus over the head? So it comes out that the main part, the most expensive part of the talus is the atara. So it comes out that the main part of the talus is to cover the head. So he says, nah, that's not the main part of the talus to cover the head. That's the most expensive part. That's a noy mitzvah garnish. Why do they put the atara? So he says, because the Magen Avraham quoted from the Achronim that Keresh is Zochel Leinasim Tzav Fein Leinasim Zorah, that those Kroshim in the Mishkan that were used on the Tzavim side, you shouldn't switch them to put them on the Zorah side, as the Pasuk says about Hakimoshis HaMishkan Kimishpato. Mishpato means like a Dintar. Dintar means that the Keresh was Zeicha, Keresh is Zochel Leinasim Tzav and Leinasim, I shouldn't switch. Over here also, that part of the talus that you put on top of your head, you shouldn't wear the talus upside down and wear that part on the bottom around the side. You should always put that part on top because it was Zochel Lehinasin Al Arosh. So in order to remember where's the top and where's the bottom, where's the right side, where's the left side, so they put an atara with a bracha, without a bracha, whatever, in order that you should remember. And then once they're putting an atara, there's a little silver also, but it's not that the beggar was the kara he made to cover the head. That's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes in the Lamed Gimel. He says, no problem. He doesn't consider this a problem. Then he says, B'chlal, in conclusive, quote Lamed Gimel, that the whole issue of turning the talus upside down, that Rizal thought was a joke. The Keresh that's the Tzofon, we discussed it when we learned it in. The Keresh that's the Tzofon, Tzofon is where Kotshi Kotshman is Chasm, the Tzofon has a Chshivis over Zorah. But the part of the talus that you wear on your head is a bigger Chshivis than the part of the talus that's on the bottom. The whole talus is one talus. What's the difference? Tzofon is more Chashiv than Zorah. Or the Mizrachlan, in Shul. The Mizrachlan, for some reason or another, is more Chashiv than the rest of the Shul. But how can you say that the top of the talus is more important than the bottom of the talus? Well, the whole talus, what's the difference? They say by the sukkah, some of my friends say, if you have a sukkah from year to year, from planks of wood, they should always put up the sukkah every year, the same way you put it last year. They should put numbers on the boards of the sukkah, like they used to have letters or numbers on the boards of the Kroshim of the Mishkan in order that they won't confuse them. So the question is, what do you mean, the Sukkah? What part of the Sukkah is more important than which other part of the Sukkah? In the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan, the Tzafen is more important than the Dara. Tzafen is where you do Kachu Kachu. Remember, Hechateseh, that's the Talos of Yom. But because of this issue, that maybe the Ator is considered an Atori wherever you head. Maybe it's a Begid where the Iker is, the Chatzis HaRosh, that's why the Ateres became him on the side of the Shulchan Aruch quote that there was a meaning that some Chassidim have, that if you have a silver Atara on the top, you should put another silver Atara in the middle. You have two Ataras. So no one should think that you're only wearing, that the main purpose of the talus is to cover the head. Now I have another silver Atara running through right the middle of the talus. So a lot of Hasidim do that, based on this Ateres became him. And the Mishnah Berurah makes fun of it. He says that it's not a problem. Obviously the Atara does not represent the notion that the main purpose of the talus is to cover the head. As far as the different purpose. Then at the end of Siman Yud and Sif Yud Beis, the Shulchan Aruch quotes a very strange din. There was a Jews in different communities had a practice not to wear tzitzit on a certain type of a four-cornered garment, and the Gdolim were not so sure why the practice was that they didn't wear tzitzit. The Chabad and Ramah gave a suggestion. Ramah called the Beis Yosef. Then the summer, because the nature of this beggar was that they didn't, you're supposed to wear the tzitzit in such a way that you have two tzitzit lefanav and two tzitzit le'achar. Kedeshiyem and Tubov. The mitzvah. That's what it says in the midrash. Vishayim is still the mitzvah. But if you're wearing a beged, where the nature of the beged is such that you have all the four corners in the front, so that's the mechaber rights that you put. Hol ben kantei masim shivishnayim matnayim shtayim lacharein v'chubanim zu keneged zu surim. That's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes. Many acharonim on the fact that on this is highly questionable whether this is a sufficient reason to patur a beged from tzitzit. It says that it's really not right. Allah HaZirafet is the Dei HaGoinim, he quotes the Mogen Avram. This kula is very questionable, not proper to rely on it. The Siman Yud Aleph in the beginning, the Mechaber writes in Sif Aleph, Sheyoyma B'tchila Sa'asi, that you're doing it for Shema. So the Mishnah Berurah refers you to this whole discussion that he had earlier, that there is a question in Rishonim whether you require Amira. Whenever you do something with Shema, when you write a get with Shema, when you bake matzahs with Shema, as far as you need dafke Amira. Then the Mechaber has a lotion on the top line of page 38. Who has to have the Amira? The one who's doing it has to have the Amira. Or someone else. Sheyoyim ala'ish really tzitzis l'talas. If the husband asks his wife, or a man asks a woman, do what fears at tzitzis. On the assumption, not like the Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Natan holds that a woman is able to service, so she cannot make kshiras at tzitzis. She cannot tie l'shma, because she's able to service. According to Rabbi Natan, whatever part of the mitzvah needs l'shma cannot be done by Nisha. So it's not only Kshiras Achutim, even the Tziyah or the Nikud should also not be done by a woman. It should be done by the Gever. Tziyah Gever. That says on the tzitzis that they charge extra money for. So it says Tziyah Gever that was done by man as opposed to done by a woman. It means a Jewish man. That's supposed to be being done by Jewish women. Because according to Rabbi Natan, a woman is possible for all the asiyas and these mishma, because she's in the service. So if the man wants his wife to make the tzitzis and the mechaber writes, it's not necessary that the wife should say that she's doing lishma. If the husband tells the wife, here, do the tzitzis lishma, that's also called an amira. Mishnah Berurah writes, but what if the woman says on her own? And well, he should be asked on there if she tells her lishma. Is that bad or good? But even if the woman doesn't say, someone tells her, do it lishma, is also good. So that's by the matzahs also. When you bake the matzahs, if you have goyisha workers, it doesn't help. If you have the tzolayim that Agaba tells the goy and bake the matzahs for Shmo. We probably machmer for the Ramam Shita that we read over here on page 38, that the goy is always mufka from the Shmo Alfidin. It's not because he has a shvacha cup and he can't concentrate for so long. It's Alfidina. Whoever is any betos is mufka from the Shmo. But let's say you have Jewish workers, but they're just techreis, they're not so religious, whatever. And they're not going to be thinking with Shmo. They have a job. That's what they're doing. They're thinking you got to do their job. They're going to make their money. They're not thinking that Lashem Asus Mitzvah. But somebody screams out, bake all the matzahs for the shame matzahs mitzvahs. That says in Shulchan Aruch that you don't require the amira of the one who's actually doing the lishma. As long as somebody made an amira, that would also be sufficient. What if there's somebody who made the amira is a cousin? Some also good. It's just to be married then. Like, the woman who hears the man say, make the tzitzis lishma, shamea kain, as if she said, I'm making it lishma. She's not disagreeing. But the same thing, shamea kain, is like if a cotton says, it's also shamea kain. It's not like shamea kain of Kiddush. It's not that kind of a shamea kain. It's a different kind. So b'chari, even if the one who does the amira would be a cotton, some of it also be good. That's the big machlekes where the machine shmura is considered the afia lishma. That's the big machlekes. The pashti says that it certainly is called afia lishma. Tzvia tachutim, the kozhik lover who was killed by the Nazis, has a tshuva sefer that's called Eretz Tzvi. Not to be confused with the other sefer that's called Eretz Hatzvi. But the sefer Eretz Tzvi has a tshuva where he says that chutei tzitzis that are tzvuyim, idei machinery. The Shema, he says that it is good. He explains the same as the Chazon Ish. He explains why it's good. He says that in order to do it, the Shema, you have to have Asiya. It has to be Maisa Ha'odim. If it's only Gromo, so then it's not considered Maisa Ha'odim, so it's not called Asiya Lishma. So how do you determine whether it's an Asiya or it's a Gromo? So the Gemara has a discussion about Kerach Rishon versus Kerach Sheni. So the Parsha Pshat in the Gemara is the Kerach Rishon, Kerach Sheni means like this. If you push a button, and then you push it closed right away. So how much would have been produced with the first pushing of the button? How much would have happened by the first little bit that you did? So nothing would have come out of that. The fact that the stitches continue to, the matzahs continue to bake all day long, that's a kerach sheni. Kerach rishon means how much would have been, kerach rishon means like this. There's a container full of water and there's a door. So if I pick up the door for a second and I close it down, so that water, that gush of water that would have gone out, with my just picking it up for a second and then closing it, so whatever happens, I date that water, that's called Kerach Rishon. But if I pick it up and I leave it like that, I leave it open. And the Mela, not only the first gush of water goes, but all the water empties out. So whatever would have not happened, I date the first gush of water, and you needed the rest of the water, the Gemara calls that Kerach Rishon. So there's a question regarding that din of Kerach Rishon versus Kerach Sheni. Is that only a halacha that relevant when you need Kerach Gavre by Shechita and Ritzicha and Mitzilut Yadayim? Those three dinim require Kerach Gavre. Kerach Gavre is something over and above Maisa Ha'odom. It's not enough that it should be called Maisa Ha'odom. You need Kerach Gavre also. That's what Rav Chaim explains in the text. Kerach Gavre is something over and above Maisa Ha'odom. So Grupa Rishonim, a group of Paskim seem to hold that this distinction between Kerach Rishon and Kerach Sheni is only within those three cases. We need Kerach Gavre. So then, in order to be called Kerach Gavre, it has to be Kerach Rishon. But here, there's no din you need Kerach Gavre, it's just a din. You have to have Asiyas Ha'odom as opposed to Gromer. So I might say it is, even if it's a Kerach Sheni. So that's one Heor. Taisis and Baba Kamas is the Feirish Nansa. Taisis is the first pair of Baba Kamas. The Avodah and Beis, the Chazanish and Baba Kamas like that. Taisis holds that Kerach Rishon versus Kerach Sheni is a Chisaron in Maisa Ha'odom. It's Kerach Sheni, not only is it a lack of Kerach Gavre, it's a lack of Maisa Ha'odom. So then it would be relevant for Tziyas HaChutim Lishma. Be relevant to the machine master. So the machine master, they push a button and the machine goes all day long. It goes for 24 hours, 36 hours in a row. It keeps on going and going. But there's stuff, Mamish Kerach Sheni. So that's what the Kosher Glover has in his Chuvah. The same as the Chazon Ish writes. No, that's wrong. When do you distinguish between Kerach Rishon and Kerach Sheni? If you have a vat full of water, a dam, whatever, and you pick up the door, you pick up the opening, you pick up the dam, and then you close it right away. So if you pick it up and then it keeps on going, why does the water continue to go? Because the water is, the heavy water is pressing down. So the mail is going to keep on going, the water is going to keep on going. So I just did Hasara Samonea. I removed the dam on the side. The mail is the water goes out because the water is all loaded up over here. But when I push a button on a machine, not that some activity is going and there's something blocking it from entering here, and when I push the button I remove the thing, and then the mailer continues to go over here. Nothing is happening. When I push the button, I put the whole system into motion. So that's what the Kozhik Glover as well as the Chazon Ish, they lived about the same time. They both point out that the Mogen Avraham said, Hilchos Mesilas Yadayim, that that will not be called Kerach Sheni. That's all Kerach Rishon. I set up the whole system. So since I set the whole thing up, that's Mamish called Kerach Rishon. Call me called Kerach Sheni if I do Hasara Samoneya. Electricity. You're talking about electricity. But the electrical current means that I'm setting up the whole thing. There is no force. Nothing is happening. It's not pushing that. It's not pushing anything. The electrical current that doesn't come through over here, nothing is happening with that. Over here, the water is all pressing down. The pressure of the water is there. The only thing is that there's no way for the water to go. When I pick up the dam, then the water goes. But over here, by my completing the circuit, I'm doing a whole double chadush that wasn't there at all from before. So that's more than Hasara Samanei, much more. That's why they both think that that should be comparable to the case that the Mogen Avraham has, that when I set up the whole system, even though I walk away, and it continues to happen after I go to sleep, that's all considered the Kerach Gavra. It's all considered Kerach Rishon. So that's what they hold. The Mikra Adem, Mishim Chutzei Tzitzis, Mishim Mei Chutzim, and Mishim Mei Matzis, are called Asiyah Lishma. That is a problem. That is a problem. In the Goyish Vanim, the generator doesn't happen by itself. That's a serious problem. The only time a Kerach Achmirba is mitzarev to me is if it's a natural force, but if you need a human intervention, some other human action, then lachor is not mitzarev to me. Why? Can the goy?
The goy is helping the machine by running the generator.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, then it should be a chisaron in my mind. Then the whole Kerach Achmirba should not relate back to me. It should only relate back to me if it's a natural force. But if it's another human activity, lachor, we should not relate that. In Sid Gimel, on page Yud Aleph, Shulchan Aruch talks about what if you have tzitzis that when it's karku mishes nigasam, you have tzitzis that were twined and then they became unraveled. So what's the din? So the Mishnah Berurah explains what's going on. What's the problem? The Chabad says you have to have hushi ishtarek kidei aniva. You have a kidei aniva left, it's good. In other words, whatever was nistarek, I consider it as if it's possible. Why is it possible? Because you have 16 strings instead of 8. So what's so big? You have 16 strings. It's possible. So the Mishnah Berurah says no. The Chabad is talking about a case when the tzitzis are not kofel shmeina. They're only kofel shnayim. When it's going to be nistarek shizirasam, so the strings as they stand are not shizurim. And we are machmer against the Rabbeinu Tam. In this case, we hold that if it's not shizurim, it passes. Some machmerim want to say it passes menater. They hold that this is a psul menater. So that's why the Mechaber says it's a problem. But the Mishnah Berurah says, what if you have the kofel shmeina to consist? And then it's mispar from the shizirasam, so you have every tzitzit broke out into two tzitziot. But the two, each one of the two, has kofel arba. So if it's kofel arba is good, all you need is kofel shnayim. It's all kabbal shmaya, everything, all the status, that's all the chumr. The mikra din is enough to fit shizurim, two strings point together. But then he says he wouldn't even require a kedei aniva left. Yeah, what does it mean kedei aniva left from where? Kedei aniva left from where? Kedei aniva left after the knot. After which knot? The Mishnah Berurah wants to know. On page 40 in the Be'er Halacha, kedei aniva left after which knot? So the Mishnah Berurah says, the Gemara says, l'hatchili, you should have one third wound around and two-thirds loose. And then the Gemara says that the tzitzis should be four agudlin. The Mechaber has on the first top line on page 40. The tzitzis, the length of the tzitzis should be four agudlin, and there's a machlokes in the Rishon what that means. Whether the whole thing should be four agudlin. Tzitzis from the top to the bottom should be four agudlin. That means one and a third agudlin should be wound around, one and a third should be wound around, and two and two-thirds should be loose. Teeny-weeny tzitzis. Or doesn't he know that you have to have four agudlin should be wound around, and that's one-third of the sach hakol, so you need eight agudlin should be loose, so sach hakol 8 and 4, and high mathematics is 12. So the length of the tzitzis should be 12. So that's the machlokes, the machaber. אין הפרחס מדלת גודל, יש שם את יוד בייסה גודל, לכן נוהגו. יש נבור, it's wonders whether, what's the עיקר הדין? What's the עיקר הדין? Is it really four? Or is it 12? What's the שיעור? So a couple times, the Gemara says there that lachat chedesh should be one third and two thirds. That's how we get the shear of the 12 agudlin, because we assume that the 4 agudlin is just the top part, and you have to add on another 8, the loose part. What happens if it's not one third and two thirds? What if it's just one kriecha around? You wrap around 7 times and you tie a knot, and that's it. You didn't tie 7, 8, 11, 13, just tie 7. But then the Mishnah Berurah says that the Gemara says that for the yevet it's kosher. So the Mishnah Berurah says. But maybe since the evidence is kosher with that, even he didn't do kriches all the way one third down, so maybe the nishtairu kadei anivra can count from that knot that you made. First you make a knot next to the beggar, then you wind around 7 times, then you make another double knot. So if you would have left it like that, it would have been good, even though it's not one third and two thirds. So maybe the kadei anivra should be measured from that point on. That's what he thought. That's what he thought the din should have been. But then he says on page 40 in the Bir Halacha, Yoser Aruch, then he says, you see that it's not so. The person holds not so. What's the Hezbollah? Why is it not so? So he says, since when you started winding around, you had a mind to make 7, 8, 11, 13, and you intended to make one long Hemshech of a unit, so that's all called the Gedil, that's all called the Krichas around, and Allah requires the Gedil, and even sticking up from the bottom. Where do you have such a Chetimtzah that because you have a mind to do more, so it's not considered completed until you do the more. But for the Yevit, if you would have left it at the, when you made the 7 krichas around, you made the second knot there, the double knot after the 7 krichas. So if you would have called it quits, then it would have been good. So why should you say that you don't count your shear there neither? So he says, okay, the most rayal is there, to give a shtickle haichacha, he quotes a Gemara Masrecha Shabbos, Kuflam and Zainam and Aleph, Nadir Alocha, that when you mala baby on Shabbos, the Mila is man as Echa Shabbos, only to the extent that it's necessary to do the milah. What if you've already caught up the basa achleikas roif ha-torah? So you finish with the bris milah. Cutting off of the miyot is only lehatchila, because they're kevili and veil. But for the yevet, if you don't, if you leave the miyot, a basa achleikas miyot ha-torah, for the yevet, the bris milah will be kosher. So the Gemara says, nonetheless, you're permitted to continue to be mechal Shabbos to cut off the rest, because adayin lo silik es yodoy, because man shel atireish, because he didn't finish yet. It's considered he didn't finish the bris milah. So he says the same over here. When I do the one chulia, I made the first chulia with 7 krichas around, I plan to make 7, 8, 11, 13. And I ultimately finish it, I make 12, 13. So I consider the whole thing as one big hemshech. Even though I could have stopped at the end of the first one, wouldn't be good the way it is, but I didn't intend to do that. And I didn't do that. I finished till I finished 7, 8, 11, 13. So therefore, the din requires you should have kedei aniva hanging out from the bottom knot, from the last knot, before the strings become loose.